Well, greetings to everyone. Good afternoon. What a wonderful song to inspire all of us. In fact, King All Glorious is one of my favorite songs, so I really appreciated hearing that. They did a wonderful job. And, you know, it's hard when you look at the services that we have and you look at all of the aspects of the services. You realize what a wonderful blessing God has given to some the talent to sing, and they share it with us, so we're very appreciative. That's not one of my talents, so it's one that I deeply appreciate and respect. Here we are at a giant reunion. You look out over this audience. Norm and I came early this morning, because we're going to have to leave and head to the airport after services. And I don't think there's hardly anyone that we've met here that we haven't known before at some point over the last 50 or 60 years. And it's a wonderful blessing to be able to look around and you see a family that God has given to us. We're going to go back to Panama City Beach, and we've got two sons there and six grandchildren, and we'll have a family reunion. But when you look around, we have hundreds of people that God himself picked out, made a part of the family, and here we are. And we're all meeting together. And we don't get to see each other. You know, today our churches are a little smaller, not as big as they used to be. We used to have churches, I remember, pastoring 900 to 1,000 people. We don't have churches like that anymore. So, you know, we have smaller groups, but we all come together. And it is exactly like a family reunion. We're able to come together, see each other, catch up on news, find out what's going on, and really share our lives with one another. And as Mr. Shaby said, I hope that all of you take advantage of that opportunity while you're here. I don't know how many have ever read Hans Morgenthau's book, Politics Among Nations. When I went to Ambassador College, we took a course, and that was one of the main principal books that we had to study. And the reason for it, because this book shows what the main motivation is that rulers have. They analyzed all of the empires, rulers, you know, leaders in government. And basically, it can be summed up in two words: power and money. You know, that's why most are in it. Power, might, authority, wealth, and influence. You know, these are the ingredients that so many have that are influenced by it. And you have to ask yourself, who inspires that type of motivation? Who would inspire a person to want to be a leader of a nation or to be a mayor or in some great leadership capacity? Because they want the power. They want the money. They want the wealth. They want to be able to control it. They want to have influence over people. Who influences to go in that direction? Well, in Galatians 1:4, the Bible tells us clearly that today, this age, this society, this world that we live in, is called this present evil world. It's not this present good world, great world, but it's a evil world. And who is it who's behind evil? Who's behind all that is bad? Well, Satan, the devil. When you look at it, the governments, the economic systems, the religious systems of this world are all called in the scriptures Babylon, referred to as Babylon. They are confusion. That's what the word Babylon means, confusion. And you find there's so much confusion. One nation has this type of government, another nation has something else. Everybody thinks theirs is perhaps superior. And you have all of these economic systems. Hundreds of religions that people practice. Utter, total confusion. And God is not the author of confusion, as the Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:33. He's not the author of confusion or the Babylonian ideas that we see around us. Satan is the author of confusion. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself the question, what is the reason that the Day of Atonement comes before the Feast of Tabernacles, or the eighth day in sequence? Wouldn't it make more sense for us to fast during the days of unleavened bread or shortly before it, because that's when we're examining ourselves? That's when we're, you know, looking at ourselves. But when you stop and think about it, the days of unleavened bread picture what? Well, picture our coming out of sin and how Christ made that possible. But when you look at the Day of Atonement preceding the Feast of Tabernacles, you find that it is a day that God emphasizes that we need to humble ourselves. And why is that? Because the ruler of this world refused to humble himself before God. He became lifted up with vanity and pride and ego and self-esteem, self-centeredness. He even got to the point where he thought he was greater than God and he was going to kick God off of his throne. So on the Day of Atonement, God tells all of us to fast, to humble ourselves, because we are going to be replacing that being. And we cannot have the same attitude, the same approach. Our approach, our attitude has to be totally different. The Day of Atonement shows the power behind the scene, the spirit of this present evil world, the devil. He is a god of this world. He's a false god, and he's got to be locked up.